UFC Fight Night Stockholm goes down on Sunday. Yes, Sunday, May 28th. Gustafsson versus Teixeira, but one of the guys on the card is a local guy. We love having him in studio. Misha Serkinov is in the building. Thanks so much for doing this, Misha.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, what's new?
Pretty much nothing, really. Just training. You know, trying to get better in all the aspects of the game and trying to acquire new skills, working on myself a lot.
So take me through the fight that you're competing in. You know, there was a tumultuous time for you where we weren't sure if you were going to be back with the UFC. Your contract was up. There was some things said back and forth, but you're back. You're fighting again. You're fighting a you know, top five ranked guy who's coming off a big win over OSP. Tell me about this fight.
Yeah, you know, it's a big fight. Volkan Ozdemir, very, very tough guy. He's a young guy. He's a heavy hitter. You know, he's a big for the weight class, athletic. You know, he's a tough fight, you know, and he just beat OSP, who, you know, went decision with John Jones, you know, so high-level fighter, you know. So I've been training very, very hard. I don't take him lightly at all, just like any other fight. And just, you know, I'm excited to go to Sweden. Never been there, and you know, all the hard work should pay off on May 28th.
Are you a little bit disappointed you're not fighting Shogun? He's coming off that win over John Volante. I know that's the fight you wanted after UFC 206.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely. I want to fight somebody like a legend, like Mauricio, you know, Shogun, and he's a very, very tough guy. I kind of grew up, I watched all his fights. Every time he competes since like Pride days, he was like one of the youngest champions. I believe he was 22 or something.
Yeah, he was super young. Yeah,
super young. You know, and the way that his performances, how he was beating people and stopping them, and just scary. So I always wanted to kind of match myself up against somebody like that. And you know, but it's 2017. There's other up-and-comers, other super, super tough guys. And, you know, I always wanted to kind of match my name, rub my name against another big, big, big name. In this case, Volkan is not as big of a name, obviously, as Shogun, but he's very, very tough, or maybe even tougher. We don't know. You know, he just beat OSP. So, you know, very tough fight. And, yeah, I'm just excited to see how all the new skills that I acquired will match up against himself.
Take me through where sort of your mentality is. You know, you're coming off this big win. You got this really tough guy ahead of you. Where does a win put you as far as, you know, title contention goes in your mind?
Yeah, you know, I want to fight for the belt, because fighting for the belt is like good, really, really good money and good publicity and good, just good everything, you know. So I obviously want to fight for the belt one day, but at the same time, I leave all that to Dana White and Mick Maynard. They're the matchmakers. They're the ones that know the game better than I do, and you know, it's up to them. You know, whenever they think I'm ready, you know, they call me, and I know what I'm gonna say. You know, I'm gonna say, of course, you know. So I don't know. We'll see. But after this fight, if I beat Volkan, that puts me on number five, because he's number five. So I assume, you know, if I beat him, especially if I be able to stop him, then I should be five. And then I'm already in a top five bracket. And the top five bracket, on any given day, anything can happen. You know, if a couple guys already have fights scheduled, one guy is injured, next thing you know, they go and boom, your name comes up, you know. So it could be after next fight, or maybe after next fight, have another fight, and then winning that other fight, then we're talking about, you know, six wins in UFC, and I mean, that's huge, you know? So, but that's my goal. That's my goal. That's my dream, and I work really, really hard towards it.
And you're in the co-main event of this fight, and the main event of this card is Alexander Gustafsson and Glover Teixeira. Do you think that's the fight maybe next for you, the winner of that matchup? Because it seems like this was almost strategically placed, having your fight underneath theirs.
Yeah, you know, again, like best matchmakers, Dana White, Mick Maynard, you know, they have everything planned out. They have strategies. They have certain things, you know, what they want to see. You know, people prove themselves. People win. They want to develop also stars, you know. They want to produce next stars. And I'm just very fortunate. I'm healthy, and I'm in that mix.
Who do you think wins that fight in the main event between Gustafsson and Teixeira? It's a tough fight. I mean, both guys have had a couple setbacks.
Yeah. It's a very, very tough fight, but I would give a slight advantage to Alex Gustafsson. He's a very, very... He's light on the feet. He's a great boxer. I think he's a little bit lighter on the feet than Glover Teixeira, and he has a really good reach, and he's a great boxer. So I think slight advantage to Gustafsson.
I'm wondering, how closely do you watch other fights? You know, we have Jones and Cormier coming up, obviously Gustafsson and Teixeira. Do you watch those to sort of figure out your path, or are you just focused on your fight and then whatever the UFC matchmakers have in store?
I watch all the fights, and I try to enjoy them, and I kind of, every time I watch all these guys fight, I enjoy them, and I give them credit, and I see what they're good at and all that, but I don't get too kind of like starstruck by seeing those guys fight. I just concentrate on myself. You know, at the end of the day, it's an individual sport, and I just try to get better. My whole goal is, no matter what, I want to make sure I am better each time I fight, you know. So the guy that you've seen fight in Toronto in May 28th, you're going to see a completely different person, And that's my goal, to be different, so that they think they're getting ready for one guy, but a new guy will come out, and that's kind of my approach. That way, I'm going to try to have advantage over my competition.
Who do you think wins that fight between Jones and Cormier coming up? It's highly anticipated. It's in UFC 214 coming up in July.
You know, for some reason, I gravitate towards Daniel Cormier winning this fight, just based on, you know, John Jones been out of the game for a little bit, you know, drug testing, you know, violating USADA, all that, and then talking openly about cocaine and partying and all that, kind of, I don't know, I think that slight advantage to Daniel Cormier. He's a hard worker, he doesn't do that kind of stuff, he doesn't, you know, he parties, but you know, doesn't. I'm pretty sure there's no cocaine involved.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never tested positive with USADA for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Just such a hard worker. And with Cormier, we always see that durable, kind of like turbo diesel kind of truck. You know, where with John Jones, we've seen elite of elite, kind of like a Formula One. And then we've seen all of a sudden the decline, you know, when he fought, for example, OSP, you know. He still had a great performance, you know, but it was not as great as John Jones that we all know, you know.
Right.
So, and especially after realizing that, you know, there was some drugs involved and, you know, got tested positive for USADA, you know, and it's a big deal. And I gravitate towards the champ, Daniel Cormier.
Interesting. Yeah. Speaking of role models, are you feeling it yet that you're the guy in Canada? I mean, if you look at the roster right now, you're the next big thing as far as you know, Canadian MMA goes. Do you feel that at all? Do you feel that, you know, pressure, and are you happy to carry it?
I feel a little bit more pressure. It's nice to, I see my name gets dropped more often in a really positive way. People like speak highly of me, and it's very, very nice. You know, it's very, very nice, and I'm so blessed to be in such a position. It just shows that hard work pays off, and just believe in yourself and work very, very, very hard. There's no luck. There's no such a thing as luck. Maybe a little bit of luck, but at the end of the day, it's all hard work. It's just old school hard work. And if you want something, you have to go and work hard towards it. And I'm just happy that slowly I'm getting more and more recognition, and I'm just I don't let that get to my head. I just try to get better me each time I fight. I just try to get better. I just want to get better.
I'm wondering, you know, we were talking about, you know, the pressure, and we're all nice, polite Canadians, you know, you, Elias, GSP, they're all like sort of soft-spoken guys, but do you feel any pressure now that the Conor McGregor playbook is out there to do more trash talk and try and oversell a fight? Because we saw like Michael Chiesa and Kevin Lee over the weekend, you know, they really got into it, and it seemed like a little bit fake to me, like a little pro wrestling-ish. Do you feel pressure to sort of oversell the fight at this point, or are you just doing you?
I kind of, you know what, I definitely do see that little shift. You know, people like that, you know, kind of bad boy image.
Yeah.
And, you know, people like the trash talk and sell the fight, oversell the fight and all that. But I don't know, not really. Like, I always kind of gravitate towards guys like, you know, Damian Maia, you know, George St. Pierre, yeah. And now I'm a huge fan of Stipe Miocic. Mm. You know, he's a firefighter. He saves lives.
Yeah.
You know, he saves lives one day, and next day he tries to
end lives.
lives, you know? It's such a crazy mix, you know. And I met him in person too. He's just such a nice guy, and he's, you know, at first he's very intimidating. You know, he's a big, strong, you know, 245 pound, like, killing machine. And next thing you know, you talk to him and he laughs, and, you know, just super nice guy. I kind of like gravitate towards that. And guys like also Gerard Mousasi. I'm a huge fan of Mousasi. You know, he's kind of like soft-spoken, yet he has a little kind of edge to him too, a little spice in there, you know. Really cool personality, just super cool fighter, technician. You know, I like those kind of guys.
I always ask a story whenever we have you in studio. Take me through, you know, your start with Extreme Couture, because you were like the first employee at Extreme Couture, which is, by the way, on Kipling, right in the heart of Etobicoke.
Yeah, yeah. You know, before I got hired there, basically, there was a fight, Randy Couture and Gabriel Gonzaga, and about 3 weeks before he was supposed to fight Gabriel Gonzaga, Randy Couture came to Toronto. To talk business with one of the owners of Extreme Couture, Doug Urch. And, you know, at that time, I had no idea what the meeting is all about. It's just I got a call from my friend, Doug Urch, and he asked me, he's like, listen, I have, you know, this, I have Randy Couture here, and he's looking for someone to train, and we don't really have anyone for him to train. You know, would you mind, like, doing a couple rounds with him? And I said, like, are you kidding me? Of course. Like, where is it? Give me the address. I'll be there in like 10 minutes, you know? And then it was at System Fitness. They had the meeting there. And then after, you know, they put the mats there and they wanted to do a couple rounds. So I went out there and I did five rounds, 5 minutes each with Randy Couture. And after that, he came up to the owners of Extreme Couture. And he said, no matter what, I want to make sure that this kid works at my gym. And then basically I got vouched by Randy Couture, the champ himself, and that was kind of like really, really cool. So that was my resume. You know, I had a former world champ kind of vouch for me. So right away, of course, they hired me, and I was since that day, I was at Extreme Couture till now.
He is fighting Sunday, May 28th, UFC Fight Night, Stockholm. Misha Cirkunov, give us shout-outs for sponsors, social media, whatever you want to. This is your time. Shout us out.
Yeah, I'm, you know, very, very fortunate to Extreme Couture, and then Onnit Supplements. They've been, you know, helping me out. First time I ever been taking supplements for the fight, so expect way more horsepower in my next fight. Also, Lululemon, the local store in Toronto. E-Fresh Meals, they've been feeding me good, giving great, great food, you know. Just very, very fortunate having all those people backing me up and helping me however they can. And Box and Slacks, also great pants. You know, they've been dressing me up, and just very, very fortunate to have such great companies help me out and kind of support me towards my dream, which is UFC 205 pound belt.